Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oh, people at home!
Let me talk to you!
Now get the guns, the drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The guns, the fakes, the fraud, they're messing with me.
Are you ready?
Let's get it out.
Move to the music, play like music, move it to the
music. Welcome to Monday Night Rollins.
We want the smoke.
Woo!
Freak out, freak out.
Yeah. New day.
Hey, yo.
You just made the list.
Well, enough. Enough, and it's time for a change.
If I can be serious for a minute, for the love of God, stay away from the Pittman dogs.
Move to the music, play like music, move it to the music. Yeah.
Cheers.
Acknowledge me.
Cheers, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tony, and I'm the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It doth be DPP.
PC Tony, I am staring at a 5-day weekend and
Don't
an early
yourself.
Pay-per-view.
No. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Go eat a bag of dicks.
Early Saturday pay-per-view. You can't get any much. You can't get better than that.
And I want you to eat them like it's a bag of chicken, not baguettes, okay?
Yes. One at a time. Let me get the skin off first. Is that what you're trying to tell me with the chicken?
Let's just move along. Early DWI podcast this week on a Thursday morning. Tune in tomorrow morning. I don't want to spoil the surprise, but Big Dave has a big interview on Unidentified History. So make sure you check that out. And then we'll have Mindless Wrestling, as always, Saturday morning. But right now you are listening to the 480th edition of the DWI Podcast, DP. And as we record here on Wednesday night, the NBA draft is about to start momentarily. You and I, huge basketball fans. We both keep up with it. You know, huge Bucks guys. I would say, like, it's the sport we keep up with the most after football, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I love basketball, college, NBA, both fantastic.
Any names on that top of that draft board that you look like you're like, hey, I might be a fan of that guy, or hey, I think that kid's going to be really good?
Man, at this point, I don't really know. I mean, I've been more paying attention.
Do you believe in the Cooper Flagg hype? He's going to be the number one pick.
Of course he will be.
He's out of your favorite college.
Yep. That's why I didn't mention him.
I am looking forward to, though, our local boy and kind of a local legendary basketball family, the Knipples. I remember them being around before I was in high school, while I was in high school, after I was in high school, playing in 3-on-3s and open gyms. And now one of the gang is going to be top 6, probably 7 at the. I've seen him in mock drafts. I've seen him anywhere from 4 to 7. Con Knipple, and I think the kid's going to be good. I think he really showed what he could do when Flagg went down in that ACC tournament. He showed he could be the guy, be a scorer. So there's no way in hell the Bucks could do it. They're just stuck in their roster the way they are right now. But that'd be so amazing if they could find a way to trade for this guy. But the problem is they don't have like any draft picks. So the Bucks are kind of just like hoping on a wing and a prayer or something well happens for them. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think Cooper Flagg's going to be good. I think Ace Bailey is really solid. VJ Edgecombe out of Baylor. There's a bunch of really good, talented gentlemen in this draft. I'm going to give you something to watch since we're talking NBA. Ray Cash and I have both watched it. It's on Netflix, DP. It's called Power Moves. It's 5 or 6 25, 27-minute episodes. Shaq and Allen Iverson are back and bringing Reebok back. They're bringing Reebok back to the basketball division, which I don't think it's been since 2007. They cut out making basketball shoes. When the Shaq got signed in 92 and Iverson in 95, Reebok was number two until they debunked the basketball program and Adidas took over. Shaq and AI have been out there signing people, and you get a really good look at what they're doing. Designing a new sneaker, which is out now. It's the Engine A from Reebok. It looks pretty good. I'd have to see it in person. I'm such a fucking Jordan guy. I was never a Reebok guy, but I thought we wore Reeboks freshman year because I had the Sean Kemps. I thought he was a Reebok guy.
Oh, boy.
But I know sophomore year was Adidas. Those are the green Adidas. I don't remember what junior year was. I thought that was more of a black and white Nike.
I don't remember. I remember the green. About I remember the green ones from sophomore, but I don't remember the freshman shoes.
Just a reference, and people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? DP and I played high school basketball together.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, I'm not.
And had one legendary summer league season, too.
Yeah, should have won the championship. That's bullshit. We got screwed.
Yeah.
We got hosed.
Yeah. If Mr. Guard Your Don't Leave Your Guy would have stayed with his guy, we would have probably went to overtime.
Yeah. That's right. At least.
Well, we would have destroyed that tournament. We would have beat everybody by at least 10, but Keller was out.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have him most of the time.
Yeah. But when we did, we beat everybody by 20. Dominated. What it was, yeah. Me, you, Riley, Keller, and Hotchkiss. That's a sick fucking team. Yeah. When you didn't have to bring up the ball, it was crazy because you had so much more energy on defense.
Oh, yeah. That was what it was all about. Like, led the league in steals that year. And that was what my... That was...
You leading us, was that assist year, too, or was that the year before?
I didn't have assist that year. No.
One of the years you did.
That... Was it? It had to have been the same year then. You led one. Well, you led one year, but it had to have been the same year that I had steals then.
No, you did. Yeah, you did that year. You led in steals and assists, and I finished like 0.2 assists. I finished 0.2 assists behind you. I was second in assists. I think it was like what? 8 point. I thought you were at 9.
I was at 9. I was at 9 assists, 4 steals, 4 steals a game.
Then I wasn't that close to you. I had 6.5 assists, so I wasn't within 0.2. It was like 2 assists up. But I averaged 28 and 13 on top of it, points and rebounds.
So. Which is insane to think about.
Well, the people we had on that team was crazy. But all right, nobody wants to hear about our...
I didn't bother. I kept my energy on defense, man. That's why we had enough. We had enough of a team.
This was post high school, so this was a league that was on for generations. And this league had, you know, former varsity high school basketball players, former D3 and D2 college players would come in too and play in this league. So it was a really, really good, fun league. But anyway, let's get to a commercial break. We'll actually talk wrestling. It's the 480th edition. This is what happens when DP and I go down memory lane. There's gonna be a whole lot of that to come. We got a couple cool episodes of that coming up for you. And I think we talked the crew of the Greenfield boys into wanting to get together and, you know, tell stories like that. Cause I thought Cheech was a natural out of everybody.
Oh, man. He opened up more than I thought he would. He really started wanting to just chat, which was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. It was great. So we're looking forward to putting those out. We'll get those probably get you one of them before summer's over and probably another one in the fall, I think, as we're on our way to 500. But for now, You're listening to the 480th edition. Don't drink and drive. Drink and podcast. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. It's t-shirt season. Hey, get in a tank top. If you want, get in long sleeve. Get a hoodie for the upcoming fall season. Plenty of great designs. I guarantee you, you'll love them. It makes a great gift, too. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We'll be right back.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
DWI 480 right here, Chairshot Radio Network and thechairshot.com. Always use your head. PC Tunney and the one and only DPP. Don't drink and drive, drink and podcast. And make sure that you guys go to thechairshot.com Friday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, for the Chairshot staff picks. Oh, I'm running it all year, folks. Shit. I don't know if I'm going to keep doing it. Well, I will. I'll at least do it through next WrestleMania. So I'll have it. Yeah, I'm probably stuck doing this forever now. I figured out a pretty good way to do it quickly. Work on it at different points in the week, right?
Yeah, just have your template ready.
Well, you got to go get the pictures, right? So that's the only thing. True. And then I have you guys emailing me their picks. DP doesn't have to. I just get them on the show. I don't really, because I don't want to know yours before we do the show. That's why I think this is good. If you ever did want to add like quips to yours, like some of the people do, you could send them over to me. But I feel like you like send to save that. Like, hey, if you want to know DP's thoughts, fucking listen to DWI podcast.
Right? That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. Ring the bell.
You want to know? You want to know the picks to make? You listen to us.
So, what's your plans for watching this? What do you think? Is it going to be kind of a watch later? You watch it and right away at noon. It's noon. So 10 a.m. Well, this is central, but 1 Eastern start time, 11 Eastern pre-show. It's scheduled for 4 hours, so I'm thinking we're going to get something between 3:15 and 3:30. There are 6 matches. I would imagine you're going to see another segment or something that takes up 15, 20 minutes, maybe less. You got the coronations. You're going to have 2 of those as well. I want to ask you a question. And I don't think WWE was worried about it, to be honest with you. But if you were a talent going over there, what would be your thoughts considering the state of affairs in the Middle East currently? Without getting political about it, just like as a wrestler, like, hey, I'm not going to the actual having to go there while this is going on.
I'd tell you what, I would pull a Dominic Mysterio. That's what I would do.
I think Dom's actually hurt. It's funny you bring that. It's funny you bring that up, though, because, man, we need to get that match, though. And for the Intercontinental Champ. Like, I was looking forward to that match more than any other match this weekend. Dom and AJ, that was going to be, like, give them 16, 18 minutes. It's going to be a contender for match of the year.
Yeah, it could be fantastic. It's disappointing. I'm sure they will.
Are you saying if it was George Hamilton, it would be tantastic?
Wow.
It's been a while. I thought about that joke today at work, and I was like, I bet you it comes out tonight.
Yeah, it's funny. Is listen to we were just talking about Cody Rhodes' podcast. Listen to them talk about the Tanner that Kevin Owens hates.
Cody Rhodes.
Slipping on the fucking Tanner that people are using in the bathrooms before the show.
Okay, I brought this up pre-show, and I wasn't going to do this, but you brought it up, so I'm going to it. Where is it here? Oh, it's got to be. It's in the Big Five, yeah. Tell me who this sounds like. This is Kevin Owens. DP, I want you to answer that question. Tell me who this sounds like. This is Kevin Owens on Cody Rhodes' podcast, okay? This is Kevin Owens talking about Matt Cardona, by the way. But I want DP to tell me who he thinks this sounds like. For a guy who loves to be on the indies so much, he sure fucking talks a lot about how much he wants to be back in WWE. Can't call yourself king of the indies and you're going out there telling people, I don't know why WWE hasn't signed me. DP, who does that sound like over the last 6 months to a year? Maybe a little bit more.
Matt Cardona?
No. Who does Kevin Owens sound like?
Who does he sound like?
Me! He sounds like me! I've been saying it! Fuck you! Oh, God, you fucking no-selling fucking asshole. Work with DP, say. Work with DPP, they say. He'll put you over.
Who said that?
Who said that?
Wrong.
Nobody says that.
Wrong!
Nice.
Yes, PC Tunny is saying that forever. Wonder why.
Anyway. All right. Should we get to the card?
I suppose.
You're not looking forward to this one?
Fixed.
When are you gonna watch it, by the way?
That's what we're talking about. When I was gonna watch it. It's gonna have to be normally when it comes to these ones, I'd watch it live. Because I do like the afternoon shows, much like PC Tunney, it's a good opportunity to have a few drinks early and be done with the show early and good to go for the rest of the evening. But I do have a little bit of family coming into town this weekend, so it may be delayed until a Monday watch, unfortunately, for this one.
That's okay. But, that happens. But. I would say, folks, look out for a post PLE review with myself, DJ, and AJ. We have started our own group chat. We've called it Afternoon Delight, considering there are a couple more afternoon pay-per-views coming up after this one, and we can't wait. Oh, we love getting sauced and talking wrestling. It's kind of like the DWI podcast. Yeah, actually, by the way, DP, I'm going to take the opportunity. Well, I'm just going to do it because I do a lot of the work around here. Not this show. I mean the network. we're gonna start putting those under the DWI banner. So that'll give us 3 weeks to take off between now and Halloween. Since we want the 500th episode to be on Halloween, we're gonna make that pace up with the two Greenfield Boys episodes that we're gonna pop in, and then we're gonna give ourselves 3 weeks of leeway between now and then. And I'm going to throw those under DWI. So what do you think about that? Great executive decision.
I can't complain about that one. No. I might be out of the country in 2 weeks for one of them. So that might be what you.
Yeah, but I mean, I can always pick somebody up. But I'm talking about on a week where it's like actually the day of, and either you or me are like, we want to. It's not a pre or post PLE. Like you want to skip this one? Hey, all right, that's one. We got two left.
Like a bonus week,
Yeah,
exactly. As a freebie.
All right, let's get into this card.
You should usually we always end up somehow agreeing. Like, yep, this was a good week to do that.
Yeah, that was perfect. That was perfect because next week there's a pay per view, and the week after that is the preview. So they're the 2 weeks in a row there. Yeah. All right, let's get into it. Sami Zayn and Karrion Kross is on this card. I'm happy about that. We're finally going to get to see Karrion Kross get in a big match with a bunch of eyeballs on him since they've kind of changed his character, which I've really liked. It's funny. It's so smart. Like, get him over before you get him back in the ring. We already knew he could work, and now you have that personality that he can use to even accentuate all the things he does right. If this guy's finisher isn't some sort of submission, you've seen him break the fucking three baseball bats with the, you know, I don't know what clutch that is, but
yeah.
This guy is super talented. He's for real a badass, and now he's got a personality. I think Sami Zayn is kind of pushing towards something, so he might get the win here, but I'm looking for big things moving forward for Karrion Kross. As a guy who really was down on him when he was first getting in there, but that's the way it goes. When you're not good, I'm going to tell you you're not good. When you're getting better, I'm going to tell you you're getting better. And then when you're there, I'm going to let you know, i.e. Rhea Ripley. Like, I had the same feelings. Like, there's a transition for some people that are going to be really good when they move up from NXT to WWE.
Yeah, this, I think what they're doing with him is really great. And like I said, getting him over without him being in the ring, giving him a little bit of a different attitude, has been fantastic for him, and showing a little more of that personality and, you know, having a bit of a character. I think didn't he have a submission move? I'm trying to look it up. He had a submission move before. He was using a submission move in NXT and stuff too. So I, you know, using that would be perfect.
I just mean moving forward. Like, they need to give him something that is really like, let's give it a clever name. Let's make it, you know, where, you know, I don't know. These fucking guys are showing that he's popped something out of the socket or something. Like,
call it the Crossroads. Oh shit, that's taken.
Wait a minute.
Karrion Crossroads. Hang on a minute.
Carry on my wayward soul.
Carry on my cross.
Or is it sun? Is it carry on my wayward sun? Yeah, wayward sun.
It's sun.
There'll be peace. Okay. You can change. You are home.
He's got, you know, he's kind of got the feeling.
Oh, they could call it. He could just call it. Don't you cry no more. Doom doom. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think our next get together should be at AJ's.
Should be at AJ's. Why?
Yeah, we'll call Tommy. We'll do a podcast in the back room.
There you go. All right. Make it happen.
All right. Challenge accepted.
I mean,
I know you believe. You totally believe in me now, no matter what, after pulling that off, right? I mean, you didn't have a lot of faith.
There was no chance in hell that that was going to happen. None.
Bye, Tony.
Yeah, but I love what they're doing with him. I'm glad if they give him a push, I think he should get the win here, really. I mean, I know they're trying to do something with Sami Zayn too, so it's a tough one. But if you're going to bring Kross in, finally, I feel like he has to get some wins under his belt to solidify this new character, which is, to me, kind of in a similar sense to, and if they're still building this way, like, to what Bray Wyatt was doing, in a sense. Like, he's kind of trying to change the other superstars' characters and attitudes and get them to be their true self or their old self or like things like that, which is, you know, a different take on, you know, some characters that are going around. And so I do like that. And I like, you know, him trying to get people to see the light kind of thing. So I'm all for it.
I think he's trying to get some of these guys to put themselves first, because a lot of these guys put their morals and standards and beliefs first.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think that's pretty cool. So you're taking care, because I'm going to do something different today. You're going to take Karrion Kross here. Is that your official prediction?
I'm taking Karrion Kross to get the win.
I'm typing it in right now.
Oh boy.
That's what I do. I got the article up here. I follow the article so we can talk about it. And I put DPP's picks in and
officially logging
Karrion,
it.
Karrion is K-A-R-R-I-O-N, right? Karrion?
Got it.
Karrion Kross.
Got it.
I love it. Thank you. Appreciate it. He hasn't been on a lot of PLEs, so I haven't had to type his name a lot. I also do want to thank thechairshot.com for raising my words per minute back up again. I would imagine now I'm probably close to about 100 words per minute.
Nice.
Yeah. 100. It just goes. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I type everything out all the time.
You got to start looking for a new job.
Oh, I cannot.
That's fantastic. I don't know how much 100 words a minute.
I don't want to do that all day, though. And I would have to, and here's the problem. I would have to look at the paper all the time.
Yep.
I don't do that all the time.
Well, it depends on what you're doing.
Because I know what I'm typing. I can. It's a little slower than that. It's probably about 60.
The greatest story ever told. I don't know.
It's about 60. I'm working on a book in my head. It's never getting to paper. I don't have a concept or a title yet, but I'm working on it. Ring the bell for that one. I'm going to make you go to the article because this podcast always goes out before the article to find my picks because my take is going to be in there and be honest.
Son of a bitch.
And so we're going to feature DPP's picks every week before the. How do you like that?
Wow. I'm a little nervous now, honestly. Anxiety is raising here.
I don't know if this is how it's going to be moving forward. To be honest with you, I really haven't thought about who I wanted to pick there. So I'll just say I just need more time. I'm just not going to pick that one. So never mind. Ixnay on the ombre and all that shit. I'm going to make picks, but I don't know. I'm going to pick yet there. So I'm not going to tell you yet. Tune in. I got 2 days. not even. Day and a half,
that's right.
I know who I'm going to pick. I'll make a pick here. I put up Friday morning.
There you go. Got to have time to digest.
Yeah.
Argue, debate. Who's right, who's wrong?
Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez. Street fight, by the way. Rhea's going to destroy this woman and get the win.
I tried to find some justification for Raquel to win this match with getting the Judgment Day involved or anything like that, and I can't find one. I don't see any reason why they would want that. Rhea Ripley needs to continue to look dominant because she's not going anywhere in the title picture, and Raquel has no reason to win this match. There's nothing going on that side of things. So, yeah, I think this is just going to be a brutal display. I don't know if anybody else gets involved. I just can't see it.
Well,
Liv's out.
Is it Liv hurt? Yeah, the only opportunity would be Liv and Dom are out, huh?
Yeah, convenient. So unless they get Roxanne to interfere or something because, you know, that's the direction Judgment Day is going, but I can't. I just don't see it.
Roxanne cost her the match, I think.
Yeah, if they're breaking things up, that could make sense.
Although, here's the thing, too. Here is the actual thing. They might be taking as few people over there as possible. Like, the only wrestlers that are going over there are the ones that actually have a match. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
You could be very accurate there, especially on this trip.
I feel like Saudi Arabia as a country has a lot of power in the Middle East, though.
Well, yeah, but that's not.
If they have better relations with every country over there than the United States does. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
Right. Okay. And if they're like, don't fuck with this plane.
Yeah. They might. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of logistics into that too, because I mean they're flying into Qatar. Qatar cuts off, you know, flights because they can't allow, you know, flights coming in or going out because of everything, because they're like right in between where those missiles are going. That may be a problem. But
Did you think they were going to change the location at any time?
No, I just. What do I think they should have done, and what I knew they were going to do? They weren't going to cancel. They weren't going to change it. That's just too much money. It's too much money in Saudi to change it. Where were they
going
to do?
The only thing I could think of was the problem here is that you have Saturday night's main event, right? And that's your only option. And how far out is that? 2 weeks, right?
Yep.
Because 2 weeks. Because next week is 4th of July weekend, and the week after it's on the 12th. It's on the same day we're going to. That's first, and then Saturday night's main event's at night.
Yep.
And in the morning we're going to see Superman, so it's going to be a great fucking day. By the way.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, we got Mom Tunney in on this one too. By the way.
That's amazing.
I usually message her. I was like, this is Superman, you know. I thought Wayne might want to go, and I don't know that he would want to sit for 2 hours, you know, that's not at home. So I think that's kind of where it's at. But she's like, I'm in. So we'll have a good time. All right, let's get back to the card. I think one of the coolest storylines in all the matches that are happening this weekend is we got Jacob Fatu defending that United States Championship against Solo Sikoa, DP.
Yeah, this has been well ongoing throughout the whole Bloodline and everything story for how long? And we've had this building up for, geez, when did this start? Almost a year ago? And, you know, Jacob Fatu came on and just been phenomenal. And, you know, him finally, you know, I think a result of how great he's been and how much the crowd has really gotten behind him and his whole bit of, you know, undying loyalty of the I Love You Solo while Solo was trying to run the Bloodline to now the turn at Money in the Bank finally has been just fantastic and leading to this showdown might be one of many. I don't know if this is just the one time off thing because they certainly got more things they can do with this Bloodline with two guys are still injured. I don't know if they're when they're coming back, but you know, you still got that group together. So you can keep this going for a little bit if you want, have a blow off at SummerSlam. But this one should be fantastic to watch these two guys go at it.
What you got?
Oh man. Jacob Fatu has to win this. I don't think they're taking the title off of him right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see him do a flip-flop maybe and go back and forth for a little bit to build it up to maybe a SummerSlam blow-off big match. I just don't think I don't think Solo's winning it here. I got to stick with Jacob Fatu winning this thing.
I'm going Fatu 2.
Ooh. Fatu as well? Fatu 2?
Indeed.
Hey,
in
Funaki?
Addition. Is that Funaki? In addition to. This is the title run that WWE is going to use to see what exactly the ceiling is for Jacob Fatu. This is going to be a lengthy one. This could be till WrestleMania. Like, there's no reason. This guy should be fed everybody who's going to make him look like the monster he is because, honestly, he's main event material. I think so. He could be the guy that joins fucking Seth and Braun and Bronson and Paul. He'd be perfect in that group. Someone that's not, like, trying to manipulate him and, you know, for the most part, letting him do what he does. You know, that's kind of way Seth's doing things over there. But we'll see. I don't know. I Jacob Fatu is one of my most must-see superstars in the world right now, without a doubt. It's not even close. The guy's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's electric in the ring. You know, it's just, and it's on a pretty good promo. That got a good, you know, that Samoan attitude. He's got that down. It feels like Usos when they were the tag team going back and forth. You know, he's just got that. He's got a good persona.
And as experienced as he is in professional wrestling, like has mileage, you know, that's helping him. as far as being a WWE superstar, he's still kind of green. So, like, there's so much potential there still in WWE.
Well, yeah, he's been around barely a year, if that, you know? So, yeah, really. And then he's taken it by storm, and he's already got everybody behind him. So, I mean, really, like, well, you said, the sky's the limit for him. So,
think about where Solo was before he got there and how quickly he eclipsed his ass. Now, I ain't saying there aren't big things for Solo still to come.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference between the things that Jacob has done and Solo has done before, but they both embarked on their WWE journey, right? So, but man, I hope they have a really good match. And I don't see any reason why not, because Solo is pretty underrated in the ring. He's like Dom. Like, he usually doesn't, you're in his matches, you may not come out of there going match of the night all the time, but you never come out of there going, that was a bad match.
Right. Right. He'll make you look good. And I think there is probably some sneaky potential with him too.
Well, the funny thing is, it's like he's Samoan. Oh, and he's third generation. Okay. Okay. He's Lucha and he's third generation. Okay. That's Solo and Dom. Yeah, I got it.
But he's just like, you know, I think I'd mentioned it after, you know, Money in the Bank, when, you know, they talk about his character, like just him being himself, you know, backstage and all that, and the comedic side he has. And it started to kind of come out at Money in the Bank a little bit. And I think if they can get him to another character, like start at some point here, kind of shift him, that could really help him out a bit too. Like, you could see another side of him that people, I think, could really get behind. And he's playing, you know, he's playing his character. He's playing, you know, he's supposed to be this heel, so that's fine. But I think there's more to him. And if they kind of let him loose a little bit, you might see that coming down the road.
Let's embark on a couple of crowning achievements, if you will, DP. And ladies first, in maybe the most anticipated matchup of the night for me. Jade Cargill has the privilege of stepping into the ring with Asuka, and you could likely say vice versa. But I think WWE really wants to see if Jade can make hay with Asuka. I mean, like, this should be easy peasy. This should look perfect. This should be a match where you come out and go, there it is. There's Jade. And she had a great dance partner and delivered.
Well, and that seems to be what they're trying to do here. And they gotta, like, you know, she's had the opportunities, and now is her chance to shine. And yeah, you ain't gonna find anybody better than Asuka to get in there with, and she can make you look like $1 million. And so that's, you know, we talked about that. You want to make some of these people look good. You want to have the right partner to go with them. You want to have someone who can sell for you and make you look like $1 million. And, you know, even if Jade isn't like the top notch wrestler yet, if you have someone like Asuka like that, you can make them look great. And this should be a really fantastic match. And I think is going to be a defining point of where Jade's ceiling is going to go, because they obviously have, I mean, kind of in a bit, I think you guys talked about it last week a little bit, you know, a little bit of writing on the wall of where we're going toward SummerSlam and what this matchup's going to look like and the storyline they're telling. So this is her chance. So let's see how it goes. I think we all know what's happening. We all assume Jade Cargill's winning this thing. So I got Jade as well.
I'm just going to type it in. I wasn't even going to ask you. I have Jade down there. You know I do. You know what I'm picking here. Yeah, I'm the one who brought it up last week. Like, mm-hmm. You have the perfect Bermuda Triangle here, right? Like, you have one of the best women's wrestlers ever in Bianca Belair. I'm putting her there. You have Naomi on one of the biggest heaters of her career, and she's a Hall of Famer, by the way, with the briefcase and a new gimmick that's over like Rover. And then you have this female Goldberg. And I mean that in the utmost compliments. Right? Because that's kind of where we're at there. I will, you know, I think she can be better than that even. But like, just like mesmerizing, powerful, and smooth. You know, maybe that's the kind of differentiating from Goldberg. So yeah, that's, man, that's a triangle. That's a one entertaining triangle there.
Yeah. And, you know, I had thought, you know, they were going to do that at WrestleMania, have the triple threat, you know, but they're working their way to it still. I mean, I still believe that's going to happen. And it might still be at WrestleMania, but, you know, SummerSlam is certainly going to come down to Jade winning this title, most likely, against Tiffany, cashing in Naomi. Something's going to happen there. So it should be really great.
All right. Let's pick the tough one. And when I say let's, I'm not sure who I'm going to pick. So you pick. Everybody tune in for my... Everybody go to thechairshot.com Friday morning to find out my pick. I don't know, unless I figure it out while you're talking here. I'm talking about Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton for the 2025 King of the Ring. Possibly one of the greatest finals in King of the Ring history, in my opinion, considering where we're at, and we still need to have this match for a championship before Randy Orton retires.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Well, I don't think it's a very difficult pick at all, to be honest with you.
You think it's obvious because Randy hasn't faced John, already faced John, but Randy could win and face Gunther or Goldberg.
That's true. Cody also technically faced John Cena at WrestleMania. So.
Yeah, but we all know where that's the problem here is story. Like if Cody, but if Cody's supposed to take, so Cody's going to lose again and then he finally wins. So he's 1-2 against John Cena.
Why would he lose against John Cena at SummerSlam? You think John's going to hold the total title all the way?
I don't know. That's the question. You obviously maybe don't, if that's what you're, where you're going. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if he wins or loses at SummerSlam, but I know he wins here.
Do you believe in an on-air redemption arc is the question we're asking here for John Cena.
Yeah.
I don't know anymore. I've speculated on this shit for fucking so long. You know, we do this every week.
I think we talked like he doesn't need one necessarily, but does it make sense to give him one at the end?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't care either way, to be honest with you, because I like either one. I like the way it's going right now with the heel bit. I think that's awesome. So I really don't know where they would go at SummerSlam, but I do believe it's going to be Cody and Cena again, headlining SummerSlam night two. So I think, but this is going to be a fantastic match. It is the best King of the Ring final ever, though. Now that they've kind of shifted this where the winner of the tournament gets a championship, I feel like we're the King of the Ring status has changed a little bit from what we are used to over the years. You know, this was kind of like that next step for a young superstar when they win King of the Ring. It's like, yeah, now they're starting to get kind of pushed into, you know, now they might get, you know, main events at WrestleMania. You know, that's kind of like their...
I think the problem is, though, when you have it like as a stepping stone, you kind of like immediately move backwards after winning it. Because
you don't
winning the King or the Queen of the Ring is bigger than the secondary title, but it's not as good as the title. And you don't immediately go into the title picture before when you would win the King or the Queen of the Ring. And now you do. So now it's going to be for a different caliber of performer on the card. It's going to be more for a main eventer or an about to be immediately main eventer, like a Money in the briefcase. It's more Money in the Bank now than anything else.
Right. True. And the fact that it's at SummerSlam makes it like that much bigger that it's probably going to be a guy like, well, not necessarily, like I said, but it could be a surprise, you know, guy up and comer, something like an LA Knight.
It's more Royal Rumble,
but
actually it's more Royal Rumble.
It's like Royal Rumble 2, right? Cause it's the second biggest show. It's for the main event of the second biggest show.
Yeah. It's like the summer Royal Rumble basically. Yeah. Right. It's summer exactly Rumble. That. So I retract my Money in the Bank thing. It's It is. It's the summer version of the Royal Rumble now. Yeah. It's just one's a 30-man Royal Rumble or 30-woman Royal Rumble, and the other one is a King. Do you like the way they did the – I forgot if you liked that or not, the Fatal 4-Way, and then you don't.
No, I don't like it.
It skips – here's the thing, though. It takes 15 matches to complete a 16-person tournament. They eliminated 8 of them by doing that in the first round. You right. realize that, right?
Oh, yeah. Because, they're for the sake of time and weeks
but you still
leading up to it.
But you and you still include all the same number of superstars. I think it's better because you have a Fatal 4-Way to start.
What I do like, what I used to like is them having, you know, whether it's never do it again, but multiple matches on the pay-per-view, like, even if it was just two, like, give me the semifinals and the finals.
The semis and the, you know, yeah. Like, but that's the thing.
You really
not,
had to earn it. But now it's not the same. I understand. It's like
because
not it, what it
because
was
it's
before.
Not it's not a namesake PLE. That's why because it's at right. Night of Champions. Otherwise, it'd be. And here's the problem with that. What do you call it now?
What, King of the Ring?
Do you well? There's you Queen it? Of the Ring.
Oh, like if it did their own PLE. Yeah, I know you can't.
That's why I think that's why they made this decision. I think sitting here, you and I talking about this, that's why that's not a PLE anymore. And that's why it happens at the finish of whatever. And I think Night of Champions and in Saudi is a really good place to do it. I think anywhere is a good place to do it, but a place that has a king or a right. queen would be a good place to do it. Right. They have exactly. a king. I'm pretty sure, you know, England has a
Crown
king.
Prince.
Or had a queen, you know, whatever. If you have royalty, America does not have that, right?
Right. So I think it's a good place to have it. I think it's totally fine. For what it is now, for what this tournament means now, it makes a lot of sense. I just have to get used to it, you know. You look at me stuck in my old ways.
I think I'm going to pick Cody Rhodes, but I can't commit to that right now, so I'm not going to.
This is gonna be awesome
because I'm gonna
match,
do this.
Though.
I set the time limit to get everybody's picks in, so when I get home from work tomorrow, I'm just gonna sit down and open a beer and open up the laptop. And actually, instead of sitting in the recliner, I'm gonna go over to the table and work.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
I don't know. There's part of me that thinks. I mean, I get it's SummerSlam, but like, I don't know.
What is Randy Orton, unless it's a triple threat, but I don't see Randy Orton and Cena at SummerSlam.
You can't have a triple threat because you have to crown a king and a queen. So you can't have shenanigans.
Oh, get out of here. That's the worst thing I've ever heard you say. Can't.
So you're saying, you're telling me they won't, you're telling me, no. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you can't have shenanigans, but you can't have shenanigans in the fact that you don't crown a king or a queen. You have to crown a king or a queen at the show.
You don't have to crown shit. You can do whatever
they want.
All right,
fine. You want to bet?
No. I'm just. All right.
Shut up.
I know there ain't going to be a triple threat. They ain't going to do shenanigans or whatever, but I know. But you can't say they just can't do that.
They're not going to not crown a king and a queen, a king or a queen and or queen. It's happening.
Of all the shit finishes that I've ever seen,
and
to go, why
crown.
The fuck would you ever
they
do
can
that?
They can reverse the decision on Raw if they want to, but there will be there will still be one crowned king or queen, both and queen.
Maybe Cena screws Rhodes.
Listen, you're my good thing. Oh, I didn't have any fried food today because my blood's boiling right now. No, I'm kidding. We're good. This isn't like Mike Mann and I with Kane and Jericho so long ago. All right, let's get to it. You said John Cena. That was epic. That was an epic battle. That was classic. That was old Sussex basement Thunderdome.
Right? One mic. Yeah. Us yelling at each other.
Two mics, really.
Woo. Well, when he showed up.
He was, that specific one, he was there because he was part of the argument.
Okay, sure.
There you go. Oh yeah, John Cena versus CM Punk, and I'm like, awesome. Why? Let me type in my winner.
Why?
Let me type in my winner. John Cena.
You think CM Punk has any chance of winning this thing?
No, he has no chance. That's why I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, if he wins, I'm so glad to be wrong. And I'll yell louder than I did when he returned at Survivor Series in the current Thunderdome. That was my sober night, too, wasn't it?
That was.
I drank Coca-Cola. I drank Coca-Cola that night. I don't even know why. I don't even know why.
I don't know why you drank soda. I know you wanted to go.
I didn't want to stay over that night. I think I had something going on the next day. Yeah. So why did I drink soda? Because I wanted to stay awake.
Ah,
and I don't drink soda. I don't drink soda anymore. You knew that. Because I used to. Well, I think even when we lived together, it was the same thing. Like, I always had like Coke Zero in the fridge. And in the middle of the night, instead of getting up to get a drink of water, I'd go chug Coke Zero and go back to bed. I'd have like two or three during the day working. And at one point, I was like drinking in the middle of the night. And I'm like, you know, you just got up to drink soda? And I was done.
What the hell are you doing? And he left all the Coke Zeros for me to mix with my Captain. So there you go.
Yeah, John Cena and Pepsi Phil. It's going to be good. It's been good. The mic work has been amazing. I know I've said I wasn't a huge fan of the pipe bomb. Well, that's been since we were on the show last. That's some, we haven't talked about that yet, have we? That was Monday.
No, that was Friday.
Friday.
That's Friday.
Friday, that's right. Yeah, my bad. Sure. Yeah, my bad.
Yes.
Did you see my discussions with others in the Chair Shot Radio thread or no?
No.
I thought it was like, it was fine. It didn't need to do that. I don't know whose idea it was. I want to know whose idea it was. Was it Hunter's? Was it John's? Was it Phil's? Whose was it? Because I don't think anybody else is working on this besides the three of them.
To me, it doesn't sound like a John Cena bit, but he's been doing a different character a little bit, so it could have been. But it doesn't sound like his move.
Did you like it?
I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was like, oh, great, you know, some
right. That's kind of where I was at. I'm like,
fucking like diss or rant on anybody. It was just like, okay, great.
Here's one of the worst parts about it was, if you go back. The camera's on Punk at the stage. And now if you watch this, John's in the ring. And we have to watch Phil lay there
in this
weird fucking stance as if he couldn't fucking roll over or move at some point or someone didn't come in. Like, I'm like, you're making it really hard to do the one thing necessary to completely enjoy wrestling, and that's suspend my disbelief.
Yeah, 6 minutes of him laying there on the Slim Jim table moving.
Come on. Yeah, like just roll over into a more comfortable position at least, because that was not
ring.
It.
Roll
like,
out of the
don't
ring
lay
even.
There like you're dead in the fucking chalk outline.
Yeah, that was the uncomfortable part for me too. It was like, all right, just roll out of the ring or get, you know, somebody come help him. Like, oh, hey, you doing all right? Let me get you out of here and clean up. You know, that would have been fine. Because I think even when Punk did his pipe bomb when Cena was in the ring, I think Cena was slowly getting up and somebody was helping him or something like that, if I remember correctly, but it wasn't him just laying
there.
For
part of it, it was. I don't think for all of it, like that was. Yeah, it was kind of like, as it kept going, I'm like, now I'm paying attention to that way more than to John. It was still good, though, right? Like, I'm criticizing this at the highest, like, curve ever. Like, this is John Cena. Like, is it great? Yeah, it's fucking great. Okay, so get off my nuts, all right? Just fuck off. But it's not...
Some earth-shattering...
It's not his best. It wasn't even close to Punk's pipe bomb. That's why I wouldn't have touched it, but... I could have mentioned it, but I wouldn't have done my own. Anyway, let's talk about the main one thing, though, from that is the mentioning of the aforementioned Matt Cardona, Nick Nemeth, and Claudio Castagnoli. Your thoughts on that?
Why? Why did he call them out specifically?
Because, like, he was saying that Punk, like, you know, shit on their careers, well, or whatever, stepped on them to get over. I don't think that's the case at all, by the way.
That's the thing. I don't think that was the case. I don't think he did any of that with Claudio and AEW. That was not really a crossover.
Do you think it was a shout out? Do you think it was a shout out to three guys that WWE wants to bring in that didn't leave on bad terms?
I'm going to say no. I don't think so. I mean, you've talked in length about Matt Cardona and why he's not back necessarily, and whatever. Like, they could have brought him back if they wanted to.
I've said this, and the biggest thing I've said is, once he stops talking about it and people forget, that's when it's going to happen, but not until then. And every time you talk about it, I mean, John Cena just pushed that date back probably a year and a half. But at the same time, Cardona could show up whenever they wanted. Nick Nemeth could show up whenever they wanted. I don't know Cesaro's contract. Some people read, like, way too in it, like Nick, Matt, and CeCe. Like, they're talking about Nick and Matt Jackson, and they're talking about Colt Cabana.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm like, WWE doesn't do deep cut, really think hard. Fucking John Cena could give a shit about those guys, by the way. I think these are three names that Hunter was like, yeah, we can talk about those people if that's the direction you want to go. I'm okay with those three. Well,
and considering WWE normally it never is going to do that kind of shit, like, they don't do that. Like, they're not going to recognize their.
No, when you're, you know, you don't punch. When you're number one, when you were number one since they repassed WCW, and were number one before that, when you've been number one all time except for 83 weeks in history, you don't punch down because it doesn't help.
No, it doesn't do you any good.
So what was it then? Tell me why those three people who are in WWE, John Cena, mentioned their names just for the storyline and it was approved. Is that it? Or do you think something else, or you just don't fucking know?
I honestly don't fucking know. Like, if I don't, nothing to me, none of that makes sense. Like, if they want to call it Nick Nemeth, like, again, like you said, some of those didn't leave on bad terms or whatever. They can bring back Nick.
None of them did.
He's from TNA, so, like, they've already had him cross over with NXT and stuff anyway. So, like,
all three of those guys are on good terms.
Yeah, so it's not like it's has anything to do with that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. I think it was just he wanted to call out some friends. I mean, I don't think there's bad blood or anything between any of those guys that I know of. I mean, I just don't understand the point.
Yeah, John is definitely friends with those three guys.
Yeah. That's about it. I mean, I honestly
that's a good call.
Don't see why.
That's a good call.
Like,
I want to tell you people that DP usually gets down to it. Like, when it comes down to it, he's right more than almost everybody. Because, and you know, I just want to preface that with, because on this show, DP gives you his 100% opinion on what he thinks is going to happen. And I fall into the gimmick I've created for myself. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying my record doesn't necessarily reflect my wrestling acumen. Okay? I'm just trying to entertain you people. Just want to let you know. Was that a fair assessment of my
that is 100%
chair
shot true.
Staff picks record?
I believe that is 100% true. There's PC Tunney the character, and then there's PC Tunney the wrestling expert.
Where we're sitting watching this show and go, I picked him, but I know he's not going to win.
Right? I had to
do that all the time. Yeah. It made the article sound really good. Did you read it? It's good.
That's my one or two. I do that one or two one-time rare picks, right? Where I go, like, I'm going out on a limb here. I'm just going to go wild card. But that's usually
and
not
I
me.
Do it, yeah, and I do it two or three times like a show.
I do it one every main show, big show.
All right, well, I already wrote my pick down. It's John Cena. Should I start typing that for you?
I mean, I see there's a C in both their names. Yep, John Cena. why in the world would he lose this title right now? It's unfortunate. I'd be on the same as you. If CM Punk shocked the world and won it, I would think that'd be fantastic. But yeah, it should be a really good match, though. It's going to be a great atmosphere, a lot of fun. But Cena's not losing this thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. Hopefully they find something to make you really, really think it could happen while suspending disbelief, because I'll get there. I think my schedule will come full circle. I got what you're doing Saturday. You're going to wait. You got shit going on this weekend, which is no big deal. Are you going to be able to avoid results?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
I think we'll be busy enough that I can avoid like going on X or whatever to see anything. And usually that'd be the only place I would find it, because I'll stay away from
the sites. Oh, I've done that to myself so many times. So many times with stuff. Nothing really big, but like, why did I just go on X? I just talked about not doing that.
Yep.
Fuck.
You catch
off.
One note and you're like, damn, fucker. Damn it.
Well, yeah, or a picture. Yeah, right? Like, yep. Oh, there's the ending. Fuck.
Yeah, not doing that. No, thank you.
All right. Then I will make sure to umbrella you with a shield as well as I can. I don't know what I'm going to do Saturday morning. I got a new putter.
Hey, all right.
So, like, the last 2 years, I got that new Cleveland Frontline 2.0, I probably putted better than I ever have in my life. And so the other day I went online and bought a putter without ever even touching it, because I've been putting so good. Really smart, eh?
Yeah, that's usually how it works.
So if you know anybody in the market to buy a putter, a really nice one that's barely been used, let me know. Because I just bought a $250 putter. No, I did not buy a used Scotty Cameron putter, folks. I bought a Meridian putter. DP, would you venture to guess where Meridian putters are made?
I'm going to guess Meridia, the Caspian Sea maybe somewhere. Small island in the Caspian Sea? No.
Brookfield, Wisconsin.
Hey, all right. Pay for shipping.
So this was I did have to pay for shipping. I could have just went and picked it up. It's literally,
oh my god,
five minutes from where I work. And literally like a 30-second walk from where I used to work. They're over by Dick's Sporting Goods in Waukesha.
Okay.
In Brookfield. They're in Brookfield.
In that strip mall there, or shopping mall there?
So, you know, there's like Dick's and then like Party City or whatever. But then like that Discovery Road, you go across the street as you exit before you go back to Calhoun. With those buildings, there's a fitness center and then they're over there.
Okay. Interesting.
They made the hot list. So they went from being unknown to rating a 95 on the fucking hot list and now being distributed at Golf Galaxy and Dick's.
Wow. Oh yeah, there you go.
They have a ridiculous reputation and tested off the charts. They went from being unknown and a specialty to now being in retail, and
that's crazy.
I bought one on site unknown and it showed up today.
All right, so which one did you get here? I'm looking at the Savannah, the Seaside, the Kiawa. Kiawa. Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get the Seaside? You're a Seaside man, I think. The thin blade.
I think you need to go into there's more. There's more. So go in. Do you find them?
For design options? Maybe. Oh, shop. Here you go. Shop. Blade putters, mallet putters, all series puttered. Here we go. All right.
What do you think I picked? I just want to make sure you found them all.
Okay, I got them. Oh, look at that.
There's
one.
There's more options there.
Holy moly.
If you remember what I've been talking about forever as far as putters go, you'll if you remember, you'll know which one I bought.
I don't remember, so I'm guessing.
So you guys should all be going to meridianputters.com if you're a golf fan.
Meridianputters.com.
What are the other ones that you see now that you didn't see before?
So I see Charleston. I got the Key West. I got the Okati, which looks like a blade, like you would chip. There's the Savannah, the Seaside, the Tybee. And that's what I got.
Well, all right. What's your final answer?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Charleston, but I'm going to guess it wrong.
Okay. So the one that starts with O, take the O off and say the word without the O.
You got the Cotty?
No. Take the O away from the word. Just pretend the O isn't there. Just say the word without the O.
Katie?
Now put the O before it.
O'Katie?
Yeah, there you go. One? It's the O'Katie.
Looks like the blade. It looks like a thin blade. That's crazy.
It looks like the putter Phil Mickelson used to have, the finger putter, where the shaft comes into the completely behind the fucking putter face.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And goes out. And I've been looking for that forever. That's why I bought the Cleveland Frontline 2.0, because it's the closest thing I could find to that.
Okay.
Now I got this. I've had a 35-inch putter forever. I felt better the last 2 years getting over the ball more and getting closer. So I went with a 34-inch putter. It's a beautiful putter. It's got some really good weight to it. I just need to get a little bit bigger. I could have ordered it with a bigger grip, but I didn't want what they had for bigger grips, so I'm going to go find myself what I like for a little bit bigger grip than stock. I don't want the gigantic putter grip, but I like something that's a little bit bigger than stock. So, yeah, nice. If you know anybody that's in the market for a pretty much a 9.5 out of 10 Cleveland Frontline 2.0, let me know. Although I might have to keep it for now to just make sure this putter isn't completely horrible for me. But I putted for a good half an hour in the living room. It feels good. Probably feel better with the bigger handle. But meridianputters.com, folks. If you're looking to get a Scotty Cameron level mill, you know, small shop, just making it out of nowhere on the hot list at a 95 rating when they weren't even trying, they didn't even apply. They just found them.
Wow.
And you want to buy it and you want to buy that for 250 instead of 500. Or six or 700, go check out meridianputters.com.
Nice.
That's all I got this week, Dan.
Look at that. Pretty amazing.
Where can people find you?
You can find me with my old putter, the cooker.
Dan might have a fucking Cleveland Frontline 2.0 suit if he likes it.
We'll see. I don't know. I got to get out there and putt. You can find me at It's Me DPP all over the worldwide social media interwebs, and follow the show at Podcast DWI at facebook.com/DWI podcast.
You can find DP at a putting green somewhere in Milwaukee County.
I have two different putters, testing my old one out and testing a new Cleveland one out. Maybe I'll round up my Cleveland bag, I guess.
There you go. All right, folks, you can find me at PC Tony and all over Chair Shot Radio Network. And you can find said Chairshot Radio Network on all of your favorite streaming platforms. Don't forget to visit thechairshot.com and prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Thanks for tuning in. Listen to Dave's interview tomorrow.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.